Blog Talk Radio.
Psalm 82, a psalm of Asaph.
God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course.
I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes.
Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations.
Well, good morning, everyone. This is Kennard Levy Brown speaking. I'm your host for the Merciful Servants of God Biblical Instructional Program. What does 666, the number of the beast, mean? There have been many books written for profit, and I mean many books for profit, and false prophecies created because of the following verse. This is in the King James Version. Here is wisdom. So those who have wisdom are supposed to be able to figure this out. Now, my question to you is, why have there been various different books and theories all across the history of Christianity, people having their different opinions and interpretations on what 666 is, if they have wisdom? All right, so anyway, here is wisdom. Let him that have understanding count. So first of all, what we're going to do to break the scripture down, we're going to figure out what the Bible says is the definition for someone who's wise. So here is the wisdom. Let me drink some water here. Here is wisdom. Let him that have understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. There have been all kinds of theories. Prince Charles, President Kennedy, Ronald Reagan. I think all the presidents have been branded with this. There's been all kinds of crazy, ridiculous theories about what 666 is. But if you have wisdom, which I'm going to define in the Bible, it should not be a problem trying to figure this out. So what is the biblical, and I want to emphasize the word biblical, understanding of this verse? So before we get into using the Bible to interpret itself, let's understand what God defines wisdom as in his word. So let's go to Daniel. Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. It states here, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. What book? The book of Daniel. Even to the time of the end. I tell you, friends, this book is not sealed now. It is wide open for you to understand. Because it states here, and this is a colon, continue the thought. Many shall run to and fro. That means many people are searching the internet, searching Google. Now they're searching artificial intelligence to find knowledge. And it also could mean that we are in an age of rapid transportation. And also, knowledge shall be increased. That certainly is referring. I've had people mock me and say, that's not referring to the internet. Yes, it is. The internet is a hub of information. It's a hub of information. Vast knowledge. And now we have a tool called artificial intelligence, which is like a super brain of information that we can tap into. So this is certainly what God was revealing to Daniel. And Daniel didn't understand these things. How could he? But we should understand that we are living in the time of the end. It's not the end. It's the time period of the end. The end is referring to the end of man's unsuccessful rule on this earth, and it's referring to the Messiah coming with his kingdom to rule us. literally. And this is talked about in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 to 7. Let me go to that. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 to 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Yes, he's going to bring the government of God to this earth. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. He is the Father of mankind. He is the second Adam, the last Adam, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there should be no end. He's going to sit upon the literal throne of David. I've done a broadcast on what the throne of David is. It has something to do with the coronation of Prince Charles III. You should take a look at that. It's on my YouTube channel. I talk about the coronation of King Charles. What was the significance of it? And I explain what the throne of David is. And upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal, the joy of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So getting back to Daniel here. So he states here, then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders, or the end of these wonders? And verse 7, and I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swore by him that live forever and ever. And this is the time period you need to be focusing on, not 7 years, but 3.5 years. A time, times and a half. That's the focus, 3.5 years. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people. And it's talking about Jews and Christians. They are set apart more than anybody in the world. And then, of course, it's talking about Jews and Christians that have God's true Holy Spirit. They're going to be scattered as well as the secular Jewish people and the Christians. All these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? So he didn't understand these things. How could he? How could he understand a society of artificial intelligence today? Well, you can just go into Gemini, that's one of the AI tools, or ChatGPT, or Perplexity, and just type in something, and you get an answer immediately. That's what God was talking about. Verse 9, and he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed until today. Now these words are open for our understanding. And he says, many shall be purified. It means a lot of people need to be corrected and made white and tried. But the wicked shall be do wickedly, but this is what shall do wickedly, but this is what I want you to focus on here. None of the wicked shall understand. Wicked is defined as somebody who does not want to repent, wants to keep on doing wickedness and don't care, all right? So none of those people will understand. But the wise shall understand. Now, what's the definition of the wise? Let's go to Psalm 111, verse 10. Psalm 111, verse 10. It states, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do, and the King James translators added, his commandments, his praise endure forever. And then in Deuteronomy chapter 4, Deuteronomy chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and the judgments, which I teach you, for to them that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers give of you. You shall not add unto the word, and many people are doing that now, adding to the words of God. Neither shall you diminish out from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen the Lord, what he did to Baal-Peor. For all the men that follow Baal-Peor, the Lord thy God has destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord, and he commands us to cleave unto him, are alive, every one of you, this day. Verse 5, behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land whether you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and understanding. By keeping the commandments and wanting to keep all of them, it gives you wisdom and understanding. Those who are being deceived by all these false Sunday churches and they say the law is done away with, you're not going to understand this. You're not going to be capable of understanding what 666 is. So anyway, keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, unless you repent by listening to what I'm going to teach you today. Which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. You're not wise if you don't want to obey all of God's commandments. Thus says the Lord. All right, so with that background, let's go back to one of the most famous scriptures quoted in the Bible. And again, there's been a lot of books written and all kinds of false prophecies created because of it. All right, so. Here is wisdom. So we understand who has wisdom is those who keep the commandments of God, have a desire to keep the commandments of God. There certainly are people that think the law is nailed to the cross. Okay, let him that have understanding count the number of the beast. So only people that understand that they need to keep all of God's commandments are going to be capable of solving this. All right. So let him that have understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. And his number is 603 score 6. And excuse my voice for being a little rough here, but that's just the way it is right now. All right. So, and I have Peter Salemi of the, I have to give credit when it's due, from the British Israel Church of God. I'm reading from his material here. He did a good job of defining this and using the Word of God to do it. All right. So, let's go to some commentary here. Nothing wrong with using commentary if the commentary is based on the Bible. And so he quotes this from Numbers and Scriptures by Bullinger. His supernatural design and spiritual significance. It said, Gematria is not a means by which the name is to be discovered. And this is in Numbers and Scripture is supernatural design and spiritual significance by E.W. Bullinger, page 282. I have that book. It's a good book. Everybody and his brother have attempted to count the number of the beast. That's for sure. In English and other modern language, we do not use letters for numerals as the Romans, Greeks, and Jews did. Therefore, I fail to see the assigning of numerical values to the names of modern personages as a valid exercise, so gematria is useless. Since it is useless in the English alphabet, make one up. And that's exactly what many 666 counters have done. Okay, so gematria is a traditional Jewish system of assigning numerical value to a word or phrase, and the belief that words or phrases with identical number values bear some relation to each other or bear some relation to the number itself as it may apply to a person's age, the calendar year, or the like. Of course, this is a man's devising and not the Bible's. Maxwell writes this in Maxwell's book, God's Care, on page 414. The Bible doesn't actually state that 666 is to be calculated on the basis of numeric value of the letters in the name. And that's true. That's true. All right. So the scripture says, here we go. Let's quote the scripture again. Here is wisdom. Let him that have, let me drink some water again. Here is wisdom. Let him that have understanding count the number of the beasts, for it is the number of a man. And his number is 603 score 6, as Revelation 13, verse 18. Now, many get led astray. And I'm quoting this from Peter Salemi's article or booklet on the beast. Many get led astray because it says it's the number of a man, but it should really say the number of man. And so the Net Bible translation has that correct translation, all right? And so do other translations. So it should say the number of man. Not the number of a man. The NIV has in the margin humanity's number. So 6 is humanity's number. It is the number of imperfection, the human number, the number of man as destitute of God, without Christ. At any rate, it is certain that man was created on the 6th day, and thus he has the number 6 impressed on him. This is, again, from the book Numbers and Scripture by E.W. Bullinger. Maxwell sums it up this way. So 7 is a number that honors God. The number 666 is a human number. The underlying Greek can be translated fairly as the number of a man or as the number of man or the number of mankind. The sixth day, Friday, is the day when man was created. So the 666 then, with his triple sixes, point to a man focused inward on himself, on his own ways of doing things, on his own creativity, like the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar, boasting of his own activity and defiance or neglect of the true source of all creativity. This is in Daniel 4, verse 30. Again, this is from the book God's Care, page 415. Now, it is man's number we are to count. This word is Psiphizo. That's P-S-E-P-H-I-Z-O, Strong's 5585. It is only found here in Luke 14, verse 28, where Jesus says, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it? Now the number of the beast is also the number of his name. You cannot buy or sell without the authority of this number. The number six is man's number. Man was created on the sixth day. On this day, he was given dominion over the earth. The beast is given dominion over the world," Revelation 13, verse 1 to 4. So six is man's way of having dominion over all the earth. We are to count or add up the number of governments that the beast has to have dominion and authority over the earth. So the first six is the beast's secular government, man's way to rule over the earth. The second six is the image of the beast. Those who would not worship that image would be killed, exercising their dominion is over the people. A replica of the first man made government. This is the ecclesiastical government that the beast has dominion over the earth. The third six is the mark of the beast's way of having dominion over the earth through religion. So Professor Neal, on pages 153 to 155 in Character in the Apocalypse, has discussed this interesting concept. I quote, "The beasts of Revelation chapter 13 represent man exercising his sovereignty apart from God. Man conformed to the image of the beast, rather to the image of God. Man apart from God becomes bestial, demonic." I quote, "The mark of the beast then is a rejection of the sovereignty of God, the Sabbath principle, which is designed to encourage man to seek his dignity, not in himself or in nature, but in communion with God and participation in God's rest. It is the Sabbath which distinguishes between the creator, the creature and the creator, which reveals who deserves worship and who does not. It is the Sabbath which demonstrates God's sovereignty and man's dependence. 666, by contrast, is a symbol of the worship of the creature rather than the creator. So again, here is wisdom. Let him that have understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of man or mankind, and his number is six. The first six is the beast's secular government. The second six is the beast's ecclesiastical government or religious government. And the third six is the beast's mark or the religion of the beast. So this makes a lot more sense, as Peter says here. And he's quoting this scripture, and I agree with him 100% here. It says another prophecy says, and this is in Revelation 15, verse 2. "And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast," that's the first six, "and over his image," that's the second six, "and over his mark," that's the third six. All right? So the first six is over the beast, that's the beast's secular government. And over his image, that's the image of the beast, is, I'll just go ahead and bust out and tell you, is the Roman Catholic Church, all right? The secular government is going to be the revived Roman Empire, okay? And so the religion of the beast, okay, of course, is symbolized by Sunday worship. So the victory over the beast, or the secular government, is the first six. And over his image, that's the Roman Catholic Church. That's the ecclesiastical government. That's the second six. And over his mark, which is, of course, Sunday worship and denial of obeying all the commandments of God. The number is in, it says right here, "And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that have gotten the victory over the beast," first six, "over his image," second six, third six, "and over his mark," third six, "and over the number of his name," stand on the sea of glass having the harps of God. So how do you get victory over a person's name that adds up to 666? It doesn't make sense. But overcoming the beast, his image, and his mark is the true victory over man's dominion over this earth. This is the true meaning of 666. So, my friends, I hope you understand that. I hope you understand that. And then he mentions here about the two martyrdoms here. The Bible reveals two martyrdoms that did and are going to take place in this end time, when the mark of the beast is going to be enforced once again. Notice, and when he had opened the fifth seal, the fifth seal is the tribulation, I saw under the altar the souls of the lives of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held, and they cried out with a loud voice, and this is symbolic of their lives. How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Here we find pictured the martyrs of the Middle Ages already dead at that time of this vision, which is the appropriate present. They know vengeance is mine, says the Lord. They know God's judgment against this persecuting, deceiving, false church, as described in Revelation chapter 18, are to be the seven last plagues poured out in the presence of the Lamb at the second coming of Messiah. These dead saints are pictured as crying out to ask how long, symbolically, because the Bible says when you're dead, you're dead, and you don't have any consciousness. So, and then when it talks about them being under the altar, you have to understand what nephesh, soul means nephesh. And in Leviticus, it explains that the nephesh is found in the blood. So that's the reason why that's symbolic there. But anyway, I'll probably do a program in the future, a podcast. So I actually already have a program about what happens after you die, but I'll do an updated one. But anyway, these dead saints are pictured as crying out, how long before the second coming of Messiah and the seven last plagues, which will avenge their martyrdom? History tells us that in the Middle Ages, more than 50 million were killed, many for their Bible faith and obedience to God instead of obedience to the church government of man and the devil. Notice now what must again happen before the seven last plagues and the coming of Messiah. I quote, and this is from Revelation 6, verse 11, and white robes symbolizing righteousness and purity were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest a little while until their fellow servants also and their brethren should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. Revelation 6, verse 11. So Messiah will not come to take vengeance on this great false church, the Roman Catholic Church, until another great martyrdom has taken place. God will let man fulfill his own destiny until after the great tribulation, until the vengeance of God will take place on sinning evil mankind, and God will shorten those days for his people's sake. Yes, in this end time, the seventh and final resurrection, called the United States of Europe, will emerge, enforcing the mark of the beast. And that's symbolized by Sunday worship and the religion that goes with it, all right? In this end time, the seventh and final resurrection, called the United States of Europe, will emerge enforcing the mark of the beast through this great false church, and many of the true church are going to be put to death for their faith. May God make us strong. But in the end, we receive eternal life and receive our ultimate reward. So how can persecution even compare to our ultimate destiny that lies ahead? So I'm just quoting on page 68 to 69 what he stated here. Very excellent write-up about what the mark of the beast is and what 666 is, and if there's somebody that has done some material that makes sense, why should I have to rewrite it? And I'll just give credit. So I don't know everything. And so that is the biblical definition, my friends, of what 666 is. And we have to know what it is. The wise must know what it is. You know, and I just revealed to you using God's words what 666 is. It's not some computer calculation. It's not any of this, okay? It's really going by what the word of God tells you it is. And then Revelation 13 is talking about the Holy Roman Empire, which will be resurrected again. It's talking about its religion, its image, which is the Roman Catholic Church. And we are living at a time when all these things could certainly occur in our lifetimes. And so we must be prepared and don't be deceived by all these people in reference to 666 or the mark of the beast. It's pretty simple, ladies and gentlemen. what all that is. And let me go to Revelation chapter 13. And remember now, this mark of the beast, and when there was persecution back then, during the days of the Roman Empire, they weren't allowed to work either. Okay, so it's going to happen again like that. And in verse 11, and I beheld another beast coming out of the earth and had two horns like a lamb. This is actually representing the Pope, basically. And he spoke as a dragon. All right. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him and caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast. The first beast is the ecclesia, is the government, the first six. Okay. That's the government, governmental beast. Now, this is the religious beast here whose deadly wound was healed, all right? And it's not talking about somebody being resurrected. It's talking about Holy Roman Empire resurrections, and I'll have a program explaining each of those resurrections in detail leading up to today. Revelation 13, verse 13, and he does great wonders so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. So this is going to happen in the future. And he deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, the governmental beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image of the beast, which is the Roman Catholic Church, which had the wound by the sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, the Roman Catholic Church, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So there's going to be some image erected that the Roman Catholic Church will endorse, or whatever they're going to call themselves at the time. And people are going to worship this beast that's made to move, okay? The statue or whatever it's going to be. Verse 16, and he calls all, both small and great, free and bond to receive a mark. This mark, the mark is symbolic representing Sunday worship and the religion that is attached to it. Just like the tefillin. the concept of the tefillin is in the Bible about keeping his law. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And bond to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So I already went over what that is, all right? But if you go to Deuteronomy real quickly here, if I could do that here real quickly, Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 here. Says right here, thou shalt bind them, talking about the commandments, for a sign upon thy hand, and they should be as frontlets between thy eyes. Okay? And so that is certainly alludes to keeping all of God's commandments. And then, of course, the anti-Sabbath is Sunday worship and the religion that's attached to it. So that is 666. It refers to first six. It refers to mankind. The first six is the false government that will be upon the earth, the Holy Roman Empire. The second six is the ecclesiastical government, which is the Roman Catholic Church. And the third six is the literal mark that they're going to use, which is Sunday worship and the religion. All right, so that is 666, and I hope that that is giving you joy to understanding the truth of that. And I will be available to you next week, if it's God's will, and I believe it is. Thank you so much for listening. And everyone, take care. May God bless you and keep you.
Malachi chapter 4. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts.
Remember ye the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse.